Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When was the last time you had an eye exam, went to the optometrist? I just had one this week. Don't you just love it when your optometrist says, "Now, I'm going to put a few drops in your eyes, and it may sting just a little." A little? An eye exam is not always pleasant, is it? I get to have my prescription increased a little bit. But for now, I'm still working with these glasses, so if I stumble a little, please don't be too critical. Eye exam. I'm going to use that as my lesson for today, but rather than spelling it E-Y-E, I'm going to spell it with a single letter. Eye exam. An exam of our own soul. If you were able to see your soul, what would it look like? Would it be full of light or darkness? Would you find your soul strong or weak? Well, that all depends, doesn't it, upon what you're focused. Are you focused upon the flesh or upon the spirit? Are you depending upon yourself, seeking your own strength and interests? Are you looking to God and to Jesus, and being led and guided by the Holy Spirit through His Word? Eye exam. Looking at ourselves. If God were to examine us, and He will on the last day, but just suppose He is the soul optometrist, and He's looking at our souls. What does God see? Because, you know, God never misdiagnoses. And He sees into the heart of every one of us. Nor does God ever make a mistake on the what prescription is best. I want to submit to you that in today's reading from John chapter 21, the first 14 verses, the disciples are being examined by Jesus. And in the process of being examined, as we look at next week, the final part of this chapter, they are being asked to look at themselves and answer some very difficult questions that their Savior has for them. Jesus had told them on more than one occasion that after he was raised from the dead, he would meet them in Galilee. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 32, "But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Mark records it verbatim in Mark chapter 14 and verse 28. The same words. "After I have been raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." In chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 10, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take the word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.'" So we find now the disciples back not only at Galilee, but on the Sea of Galilee. Here it's recorded for us, the Sea of Tiberias. It's the same sea, and it's also sometimes called Gennesaret. What is it that's special about this area and about this sea? Well, we know what's special about it. This is home. Jesus was raised not far from here in the little town of Nazareth. And Nazareth is in Galilee. And then when he moved to the north shore of the Sea of Galilee to the town of Capernaum, it is there that his disciples lived, Peter and Andrew and James and John. And I want to look at those through pictures that we took on our trip to the Holy Land. For this afternoon's lesson, we'll focus upon the Sea of Galilee, and you'll get to see the shores and the sea and just how beautiful that sea is. So they are in a familiar area. In fact, basically they have gone home. And this incident that's taken place here with they fished all night, but they caught no fishes, has happened before as well. They've come full circle. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. This is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry and at the calling of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Beginning with verse 1. "Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying on the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered and said, 'Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and to help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." You like to go on retreats? What is it about a weekend on the lake, or a few nights camping out, or even a holiday on the beach? Well, a few days off can just help us to recenter. I remember a song by Merle Haggard. Turn me loose, set me free, somewhere in the middle of Montana. And yet we have to ask ourselves, what am I recentering on? What really is my life's true purpose? Do we see what we are supposed to see? Turn with me to hymn number 195. 195. Do me, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What should we see when we recenter? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. As Jesus spoke from the shore, it said that they didn't recognize Him in this last meeting upon the shores of Galilee in John chapter 21. And so he tells them, he first asked them, have you caught any fish? No, really what he said was, is you don't have any fish, do you? In their self-examination, what had Peter and the rest of the disciples done? What's normal? What's natural? They had reverted to that which is habit to them, and they had gone back to fishing. When Jesus spoke those words, children, you do not have any fish, do you? That was actually a challenge, and He knew the answer to it. The question was actually rhetorical. He knew they hadn't caught any fish. How often do we spend our efforts, our talents, our money on things that are of no value, or we get nowhere? Many will face that reality on the last day, on the day of judgment. They will have spent their life on worthless things. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. If I'm not focused, if I haven't turned my eyes upon Jesus, if I haven't repented of a useless life outside of His will, then it's a wasted life. When they cried out to Peter, what shall we do? His answer was simple. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. What do I see? If a retreat will help me to focus upon God, then it is worthwhile. But how often, even we who our disciples, do we find ourselves almost fleeing from those things which would center us appropriately to enjoy those things which are but temporal and not lasting? Do our children see in us a focus of my desire is to do God's will? My desire is to walk in the way that I should, to lead others to Christ, to worship with the brethren, to study His Word. Retreats are nice, but unless I have a true purpose in life, I'm not going to see with the eyes of the Lord. I must turn my eyes upon Jesus. But this Sea of Galilee, as we'll discuss further in this afternoon's lesson, also is representative of the outcast. Galilee is to the far north of the land of Palestine or the land of Israel. It's far from the seat of power, which is Jerusalem. It's far from the religious elite, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the councils, the priesthood, the tabernacle, the temple. No, they really are more than just on the outskirts, literally. They are on the outskirts figuratively. In fact, God has purposely chosen a land that is far from this, quote, center of power. He even prophesied of it. Remember where we said Jesus was raised? In Nazareth? As Jesus began his public ministry, and he was asked to read a passage of Scripture, this is from Luke chapter 4, in the assembly, in the synagogue at Nazareth, he chose to read these words from Isaiah. And they are from Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, as well as from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Beginning with verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendants and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What has Jesus just done? He has inaugurated his ministry by proclaiming to his hometown, I am the salvation that Isaiah proclaimed 700 years ago. Today, this passage has been fulfilled in your hearing. But notice the context. He is in Nazareth. He's in Galilee. And he is saying, I have come to help those who are the outcasts, the poor, the captives, that they may see. It was God giving mankind an eye exam. Am I blind? To give sight to the blind. Another prophecy from Isaiah. This is from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, is referenced in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. What did we just sing? And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Why did he tell his disciples, return to Galilee? Because it was full circle. Yes, they are on a retreat of sorts, and in their mind, they are satisfying this obligation by going back to fishing. But Jesus says, children, you've not caught any fish, have you? This is not why we're here. And he backs it up with another overload of fish. Do you like to go fishing? I'm sure that it impressed those fishermen to come back with the nets full, 153 fish that were quite large. And yet, John tells us they weren't breaking the nets this time. Jesus, the miraculous, certainly was at work again. What was he doing? He was recentering his disciples. He was giving them an eye exam. What's your most important thing in life? What are you going to give your life over to? Remember the time before? It says that Peter and Andrew and James and John, after having their boats so full that they were beginning to sink, they left their nets. They left their family business and followed him. Would that we would have a similar epiphany, that it would dawn upon us that to do the will of the Father is what we are all about. That is the most important activity in life. To preach the truth. To shine the light. To relieve those who are walking in darkness, who are blinded by this world, and instead find what God would have us to be. God has hinted at the fact that the powers that be are not always focused as they should be. With the prophets Elijah and Elisha, he sent them to foreigners. Elijah found refuge with the Sidonian woman. Elisha cleansed the leprosy of Naaman, a Syrian. God was saying, I will reach out to all. And in this case, as Jesus calls his disciples back to Galilee, he's not saying this is the only place that you will preach, but this is your origination territory. These are your roots. And yet I have called you to proclaim a message. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, he will say before ascending into heaven. And in the process, he has basically contrasted that with the rejection that has happened from the religious elites in Jerusalem. It's rather curious, though. When the church is established, on the day of Pentecost, where does it happen? It's in Jerusalem. But it's by the disciples that are outsiders. In Acts chapter 4 and 5, those same disciples will be brought before the powers that be, the religious council of the Jews, and they will be told, you can't proclaim this anymore. And if their only thought was to have identified with the world and to be like those who are around them, even the religious elites, then they would have capitulated and allowed themselves to be influenced. Going back to Galilee is to remind them, you are here, yes, you are here as outcasts, as ones who will be rejected. But the truth is for all. Preach it so that the captives might be set free. Next week's lesson, Lord willing, will focus upon this breakfast that we end with here. It is a miraculous one, isn't it? I mean, they get to shore and Jesus already has fish on the charcoal fire ready to be eaten. Where did that come from? And bread to be passed out. But then that conversation that Jesus has, mostly with Peter, but also including John, is so revealing. And it's basically a second lesson to this one. And sadly, the conclusion of the Gospel of John. When was your last eye exam? Hopefully, you just had it.